No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith today. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. We are joined by two passengers, so we have a four-seater today flying on a virtual cruise through the, world of aviation and news and stuff related to it.
Have you done the weight and balance?
No, and I haven't seen him lately either. I've seen Dennis. He's fine. Clay, I'm assuming he's probably shed a few pounds. So we got Captain Clay and Captain Dennis. I'm assuming that I'm going to be in the co-pilot seat, right?
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't assume that.
Yeah, I would. I'm calling dibs.
Captain Clay is going to be in. He's going to be flying.
He has the most experience.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go to the back of the plane. All right, Clay,
and I'll be sitting next to him.
Luggage.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is it? Parasitic drag. That's what I have to resort to. That.
No,
title
you're just
again?
Parasite drag.
Oh. All right. Well, anyway, we got a full crew. Full plane, whatever, and hey, we're going to talk about buying a plane today because Dennis is, he's taking that, he's on that journey as we speak. We've been talking about that the last couple weeks. He was looking around at Sun and Fun for a plane. He had zeroed in on a Mooney that he found in his local, flying club area or flying area there in Minnesota. And so what's the latest, Dennis? Update us.
Well, right now we're just working with the bank to make sure we've got the financing and money available. Then I can really get serious about actually putting an offer in.
Really get serious or really buy a serious?
No, not buy a serious. Well, I'd love to buy a serious, let's be honest.
But you're still zoned in on the movie?
You really don't, though, Dennis.
You really don't what?
Want to buy a serious.
Why not?
Because from what we talked about a couple of weeks ago with what his mission is, a serious really isn't going to work for him.
Well, his mission is to fly me around the Caribbean, right?
Okay, buy a Cirrus.
Yep.
It'd be faster.
You understand my fascination with the Cirrus. I mean, if money was no object, I'd have one yesterday. Just because my father worked for them for 8 years. I've toured the factory. I've watched that company grow. And, I have a lot of respect for them. They've really changed the GA industry for the better.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. I really like the airplane. I fly them quite often.
Yeah. But the problem is the carrying capacity is not as ideal because, you got Dennis, you got me, you got our scuba gear, maybe another person or two. I mean, that pretty much, you got to get a hauler, some kind of hauler.
What's the full fuel useful on a SR-22?
Dennis,
to be honest, I haven't looked at it.
What?
I've never flown a 22. I've only flown the 20s, and it's been probably 5 years since I've last been up in one. So,
because I remember when I was researching, I think the full fuel useful load on a Cirrus was somewhere a little shy of 600 pounds or something
that's
like
what
that.
It is.
And and really, that's not significantly better. That's about the same as my Saratoga. The advantage of the Saratoga is that you can lean it out fairly far and get pretty good speed, same as the Cirrus, but you've got a lot more space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very comfortable airplane.
Right. Yeah, you can, it's just very wide, it's very long, you can, just load a bunch of stuff in. I've got a picture that I took when Greg and I were flying to the Caribbean, and I think we met in, where'd we go? We went down to Lauderdale to pick up a bunch of stuff.
I believe that is correct.
We had the back full of boxes. None of them were really heavy. Just the volume of stuff we crammed in there.
There's a lot of stuff. Looked like we were moving out of
Saratoga.
The country.
I flew an 83 Saratoga, probably same vintage as yours. And, obviously Austin was a little tyke at the time, but, him and mom could jump in the back seat and have room to practically play volleyball back there with that club seating. It was very roomy, very nice airplane.
Mm-hmm. Well, Clay, just so you know, you weren't here a couple weeks ago when he was telling us about this. I was like, you need to talk to Clay, and you need to buy one of these Saratogas. I've been in Clay's plane. It is awesome, and it does everything you want to do fast and comfortably, and he's like, oh, Greg, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I really like mine, but it does suffer from, it's got a turbo, which takes 100 pounds. But I live in Wyoming, and that's important in this neck of the woods. It's got retractable gear, which is another 100 pounds. And that is, for my mission, works better than fixed gear. And it's got air conditioning, which is another 100 pounds. For my mission, going down to the Caribbean, that's awful useful. Not generally in the air, but certainly on the ground.
Heck yeah.
So, I get a useful load hit, by the about 300 pounds for all those features, but that's worth it to me.
What's the cruise airspeed workout to be for that?
Because
that's kind of what my requirements have been. I've been looking at something that gets north of 140 knots because we have that in the Cardinal now, and I really like the speed of that, and I'd like to go no less than 140 if I'm buying a cross-country airplane.
Oh, you do that in with your eyes closed in the Saratoga, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I flight plan at 165. It'll be at heavy weights down low, it might be a lower number. At higher weights up high, I've seen 190 at 17 and a half or so.
And what's the fuel economy at those cruises? Obviously, lean of peak.
Yeah, obviously, lean of peak and just at peak or lean of peak. And I flight plan for 16 an hour.
16 an hour. Okay. Well, that's not too much more than what you were thinking, is it, Dennis?
Well, the Mooney, for comparison's flight plan, same speed, 165, but they're typically around 10 gallons an hour.
What?
Right, but think of the space that
you're hauling. But you also have a much more compact airframe, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're elbow to elbow with your closest friend.
I do 10 to 12-hour cross-country trips in mine, and I'm comfortable the entire, my butt gets a little sore, but it's a comfortable seat. It's, plenty of room to spread out, and it works very well for what I do. But the advantage with I've never flown another Saratoga other than mine, but mine's got a Turbo Plus intercooler in it, which keeps the cylinder head temps and all that significantly cooler. I mean, I think the intake air on that drops about between 40 and 50 degrees on average, from what you'd see without the intercooler. And so I can run, at peak or lean a peak all day long, and at good fuel flow and get good speeds, and it just works out really well. It's a really nice package.
Plus, when you tell,
does not kill the engine.
Right.
It doesn't kill the engine. And when you tell the chicks that you're flying a turbo, oh, they dig it. Just saying, don't they?
Well, there you go, Dennis.
That all you got to do is tell them you're flying. That's usually enough.
That's enough?
Really?
Well, okay, maybe. But if you're there with one pilot, and one pilot has a turbo, the other doesn't, I'm telling you, it's the turbo guy's going to get the it's going to get the nod.
Well,
no, it's the jet guy that's going to get the nod.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, well, okay.
That would be naval me. Aviators.
Yeah, so we have a guy that I used to work with, I used to fly with. He was one of our customers, 6'11", and he fit in a Saratoga. That man could not get in a Cirrus.
Mm. Or a Mooney? What do you think?
Normally.
Definitely not in a Mooney.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to think about that, Dennis. I mean, I want to be comfortable when I'm flying around.
Yeah, but Dennis is not 6'11" either.
Yeah, but I'm 6'1". I got to be able to stretch out.
Nobody cares about plenty. You, Greg.
Exactly. Keith's looking
at me.
You're going
to be
like,
in the back seat anyway, Greg. You're going to be able to stretch out across the back couch by yourself.
What do you mean? I'm a co-pilot. I can be a co-pilot, can't I?
Nobody cares, Greg.
Yeah.
Were you a middle child?
No, I was oldest. Definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Shocker.
That surprises me.
There's exceptions to every rule, guys.
That's right. That's true. Broke the mold. Anyway, so I don't know. Is this helping or just making it more confusing for you, Dennis?
No, not at all. I love to get the other perspectives, and I'm not settled on any one particular airframe right now. I'm just kind of looking at what's out there, what's available, what are the prices, We were talking before the show started, and it's too bad I wasn't in the market for it when you upgraded, because your old Cherokee 235 would have been a great candidate also.
Yeah. Well, that was the plane he said that I should have bought, right? Cherokee 6.
I kept telling you.
Yeah.
But, it's a similar fuel burn, but, you got much better performance in terms of, takeoff and landing and field work in the 235 than you do in the Saratoga. But, I'm personally the opinion, I have horses too, and the purchase price of a horse is really immaterial, since you're going to have it for, you know, potentially 25, 30 years. It's the ongoing costs and all that that really matter. You know, from my viewpoint, doing long cross countries, it's really the space that's important. In the scheme of things, you know, a few gallons an hour worth of cost is really not worth worrying about, because it's a very minor percentage of the total cost of having an airplane. So I'd much rather be, you know, personally comfortable and be able to stretch out and, you know, not have many limitations in terms of volume and all that. I mean, I'm going down in a couple of weeks to bring my mom back from Savannah to Wyoming, and that's going to be about, you know, 10 hours in the air, something like that. And that's her and usually about 10 bags plus her dog plus a dog crate plus, you know, all this stuff.
Well, I don't know about you, Dennis. I'm sold. So buy that one, Dennis.
That's exactly the reason why you want to go for your mission. You got to figure out what your mission is.
Yeah, remember, you got me. I got to have room to spread out and relax when I'm flying with you. I think you just disconnected. What the hell?
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If this company is a plane, then this is Richard's damn plane. And if he wants to fly it in the side of a mountain, that is his prerogative, and it is our duty to climb on, strap in, and have a fiery death right behind him.
I don't know about that.
Gonna take a for a ride on a beach at
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me.
Hey, hey.
Captain Keith. Also, we have
hey, hey.
Captain Dennis, Captain Clay, a bunch of captains, and me.
Hey, hey.
But they're, that's okay.
Hey, hey.
I think they're okay with that. And Dennis didn't disconnect. He was still tolerating my nonsense. But I think we've zeroed it in that you got to get a Piper Saratoga as a plane because it's bigger. Goes as fast, maybe a little bit more fuel burn, but I don't know. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts here, because this is where I think...
I'm surprised you haven't told him he's got to get a caravan.
Well,
he has numerous times.
Yeah, but he's like, oh, yeah, there's a slight little problem with the price. And that's what we got to zero in on, because Clay went through this process. I don't know, you've had your plane about a year and a half now, thereabouts? What do you think, Clay?
Coming up on 3 years.
Three? Jeez.
Yeah.
Three time flies.
650 hours.
Yeah. But, see what I did there? But
you know, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
We were letting that go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to make the comment too that Captain and Me, I think that was a older show, but I think she was better looking than you.
Maybe,
but anyway,
he does have a voice for or a face for radio. Remember,
true.
You're talking to Keith. That was really inappropriate.
You know, one of the things I was going to mention about Mission too is that, you know, the Saratoga, as wonderful as it is for what I normally do, it is not a good dink around airplane. You know, I mean, one of the fun things about living in Wyoming is just being able to take off. There's nothing out here. There's no airports. There's no people. There's no there's no restrictions in terms for the most part in terms of where you fly. And it was fun in the Cherokee just to go dink around and fly low level flights and fly off of you know, plateaus and feel like you're flying off a cliff and that type of thing. And the Saratoga is just not the plane for that, you know, a big turbocharged engine is not something you just want to, you know, manhandle around. And
not suited for the backcountry short field backcountry strips. And
not really. The 235 was good at it, you know, as long as you didn't punch a fence post through your wing, you were good.
I would figure that apply to any airplane. No,
what?
Poking a pole through it.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, if you're flying into backcountry strips in Idaho or something like that, where they're, you know, there's strips in, within the wilderness area, there's generally fences around them to keep the animals off.
Yeah.
And if you've got a low wing plane, it's pretty easy to poke one through the bottom of the wing. Whereas a high wing, you can go over them pretty easily.
I don't think that's Dennis's mission, though.
No, it's not. But everything's a compromise one way or another.
Yeah, but I think it's no one's mission to poke a hole through your wing.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I'm just assuming.
I've met some people that my mission was to poke a hole through the bottom of their wing. But,
really?
You know,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do I know?
Are you confessing something about Greg on the air?
No, my lips are sealed.
I'm just a co-pilot. What do I know? All right, so...
You'll never find an airplane that meets 100% of your mission.
No, you're
just not going to find that.
Yeah, but what really matters is price, and that's what we got to zero in on.
Well, and price isn't necessarily an overriding consideration.
Well, yeah, but it's a major one. That keeps you from the Grand Caravan versus, you know, a Saratoga.
Well, right.
Or a Mooney.
I mean, let's be realistic. I'm not looking at a $1 million+ airplane. But
though I wish you
on
were.
The other hand, you don't want to go and buy something dirt cheap and then wind up throwing a whole bunch of money at avionics. You know, we've talked about that. So we need to find something that meets your mission, is equipped close to the way you'd want it, so that you're not having to invest a bunch of money into it.
Well, let's talk about Clay's process, because we did this a few years ago when he bought it, and I was really fascinated with how he did this. And you found this broker who basically found a plane for you, kind of gave him a rough idea of what you were looking for. Is that what it was, Clay, or what?
Yeah, basically it was an outfit called Pristine Airplanes in Ohio that took older airframes, run out engines and all that, and they completely redid them from the engine to the prop to the interior and paint, and went through them and gave them a fresh annual. And you know, that type of process is perhaps a little bit hazardous if you don't trust the people that you're dealing with, because, you know, anybody can, you know, pencil whip an annual, I suppose, if they don't mind losing their A&P license.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, you know, came very well recommended, and it turned out to be an amazing airplane. It had, you know, it was a relatively high hours, you know, I think it was 5,500 hours at that point when I got it. But did have a new interior. They did a great job on new paint, new signature engine, and certainly it's an older airplane, so there've been a few squawks along the way, and stuff that just, you know, worked fine for a bit and then, you know, needed to be worked on. But by and large, it's been, you know, the dispatch reliability has been great. It's been, nice, comfortable plane that turns a lot of heads when I, you know, when I go somewhere, and it was essentially turnkey. I didn't need to, worry about it. I picked it up in Ohio. I flew to New Hampshire. I went down to Florida. Mm-hmm. I went back up to Savannah, flew it back to Wyoming finally.
Yeah, and when you came to Florida, that's when I saw it. I was shocked that this wasn't a brand new airplane. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, what year is this? You said, what was it, 82? Is that what it was?
83, yeah.
83, yeah. And I was like, I could not believe this was a refurbed airplane. It was shocking how well equipped it was.
The difference is, though, this is not his first airplane. He really knew what his mission was. He knew what he had to have an airplane for, and he's going to keep it for a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But can you even buy one of those new, but they would be what?
Saratoga. Actually, I think they've discontinued this. Yeah, they've discontinued the Saratoga, but now they're replacing it with what, the M500 or whatever it is from Piper. Basically, it's the Meridian.
That's the Meridian.
The Meridian?
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're still making the new Saratoga HPs.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So about how much?
It's like almost $1 million airplane.
Right.
And he didn't spend that much.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No.
So
I mean, you spend more than another option when you're going through and getting annuals and inspections and something with 500 hours and paint 6 years ago. I mean, certainly it was more than that, but in the position I was in, I needed something that was just
ready
jump
to go,
in, turnkey and ready to use. I mean, I think I put 220 hours on it in the first year I had it, that's not the kind of schedule where you say, okay, well, it's going to be down for an engine, it's going to be down for an interior, or the interior's crapped out or whatever. So for my purposes, it worked great. But
yeah,
right.
Well, is there a general percentage, like say you spend $50,000 on your plane, like an old plane, and how much you would want to spend to bring it up to snuff, so to speak? Is there like a percentage ratio they recommend?
Not really.
No?
No, it's all personal preference. But, Clay, you got to remember, he uses his for business.
Right.
And, like I said, 3 years, he's put almost 600 hours on it. And, the average person who buys an airplane flies it less than 100 hours a year. Less than 100 hours a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got airplanes, customers of ours that flew 4 hours last year.
Well, that's not good.
No, it's not good for the airplane. And airplanes still look nice, but it's really not good for the airplane.
Yeah, but so. in that case, you say, we're going to borrow the plane. Greg needs to go somewhere, and we're going to fly him. That's the sales pitch to him?
Well, we could try, but as soon as I mention your name, it'll be gone.
Okay, just say Mr. X.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Keith. Also, Captain Clay and Dennis helping us out. Dennis is looking for a plane. And Clay bought one a few years ago, and I think, are you feeling the love here, Dennis? Because, I mean, this is a great opportunity, I think.
It is. It's great to be able to learn from someone else's experience, what works, what things to look out for, and I've been getting a lot of that, lately.
Yeah. Well, in my case, it'd be like learning from my mistakes, but in Clay's situation, he actually did really well with the whole process. I mean, when you look back at your purchase of your Saratoga, Clay, is there anything that you learned that you wish you would have known then when you bought it?
Not really. I was familiar with the process and the pitfalls because basically I screwed everything up the first time around when I bought the 235.
Yeah.
Ended up hugely upside down. I mean, just I hadn't been flying for a while, so my mission changed fairly quickly, and I got instrument rated, and that sort of... fairly quickly thereafter, and that necessitated a panel upgrade because it just had an old 60s panel in it, and it just went on from there. The Saratoga purchase, I pretty much knew what I wanted and what was going to be valuable to me. I mean, my advice would be, when you're looking at airplanes, certainly look at something that has been flown a lot recently, whether it's hours, to me at least, on an airframe really don't matter. My plane right now actually has the original engine in it. Hmm. And it's got, it's been overhauled, four times, but it's obviously a good block. It's, had gone to TBO or close to TBO, which is not all that common for these, high horsepower turbocharged engines.
And TBO stands for?
Time between overhaul.
Yes, I'm just throwing that out there for people that don't know.
But just look for something that's been flown a lot recently, because somebody has probably gotten the bugs out of it already for you.
Mm-hmm. And to keep those parts moving, they have less chance to like seize up on you, like your
gyros
bones
and everything else,
like those achy bones you get when you're older. Like, you know, Keith, not me. I'm just saying.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, bud. Heard you're getting in on the flight game.
Really?
Let me know if you need any pointers. This is my first time in a plane front.
Plane front?
You know, the plane front, where the plane drivers drive the plane.
The cockpit?
Oh, cockpit. Yeah, sure. I've heard people call it that, too. Yeah. Know it well.
I want to ride in your cockpit. Take me high up in your cockpit. I want to fly in your cockpit. Ooh, 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 boy, you're going to like this.
Now we'll be descending right now.
Oh, that's nice.
So, baby, how do you want to land? Do you want a safe landing?
What?
Or a hot, sweaty landing?
Wait, hold on. I don't think it's... That's getting inappropriate. Let's just kill that. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me. As long as, you know, it's a bunch of guys in the plane, so I'm just feeling a little awkward right
now. I'll take the safe landing, thanks.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Well, what's the problem?
Hot, sweaty landing? I don't want my life expectancy shortened.
Well, that just happens, being, you know, the size we are, and we're kind of crammed into a Mooney, if that's what... Dennis ends up getting. It's gonna be hard not to perspire. Does that thing have AC in it that you're looking at, Dennis?
The one I have, nope. It's got basically crack the door and turn on the big fan up front to keep the sweating down.
That's not good. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not liking the sound of this. Plus, you said it's been sitting around for like 18 months. Hadn't been flying at all.
Yep, the one that I'm looking at right on the home field is actually been grounded. Basically, it was picked up out of annual, and then the owner came down with a terminal illness, and so it's been sitting in the hangar, and now his widow is looking to unload it.
Aha. I don't know, what would you do in a case like that, Clay? Do you think that sounds like an opportunity for bargain man to come in and take advantage of this situation?
You know, it could well be. Yeah. I mean, you've got to go into it with your eyes open. I would say that if it's been sitting and you don't live in a an incredibly dry climate, certainly it's indoors, but humidity could do an issue on the engine. Mm-hmm. But you know, also gyros and all that.
Well, in Minnesota, it's probably been frozen for the last 18 months, hasn't it?
At least 6 months out of the year.
Cryogenically preserved.
So it's probably fine.
Yeah, might be.
But you, like you said, you got to go into it open-minded. I mean, part of the purchase price is going to have to reflect the fact that it's going to be a rather extensive annual that first time out, because you're going to want to take a look at the condition of the engine, make sure that you don't have corrosion in the cylinders or on the camshafts and things like that that might affect the long-term viability of that engine. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need to take that into account, because you could be buying an airplane with an engine that needs to be overhauled immediately.
So. Yeah, well, and I also know you're very, you're handy. You were kind of like the tech consultant for your flying club up there, and that's one of the reasons why you decided, hey, I want to get my own plane. I'm doing all the work for all the other guys.
I don't mind getting my hands dirty. I don't mind assisting. I mean, I'm not an A&P, so I can't do any maintenance and sign it off, but I'm more than willing to pitch in or, do some of the preliminary work to keep the costs down.
Yeah, and I know you were real excited at Sun and Fun when you saw some of these autopilots that were just are dirt cheap compared to even what Clay was paying probably 3 years ago, right?
Well, I think we laughed when we were looking at, we talked to the folks at the EAA booth about the TrueTrack autopilot that's going to be certified this summer for production airplanes. And, they're talking $5,000 installed. And I think I recall, Clay, you had a problem with your altitude board that just that piece or just that piece of it was going to be 10 grand.
Yeah, something like that. I ended up getting it rebuilt and it wasn't that much of an issue, but certainly, I mean, little things like had one little stainless fitting on the turbo that was just a little fitting that connects two rods. That was $1,400, I think.
Well, they got to make their money back somehow if you're buying these old planes, I guess, right, Clay?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they find a way. But I don't know. As far as technology, even from 3 years ago, have you been paying attention to that kind of stuff, Clay? Have you like thought if you were to get your plane now, you'd like, hey, I could have saved this much money or blah, 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 you know? Or what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I've kept up with it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I set things up on a sort of fairly cheap basis with a, you know, it's got a Garmin 530 WAST in it, which enables me to do, you know, GPS coupled approaches and, you know, good autopilot, but everything else, you know, the XM weather with a subscription that you can turn on and off on a portable GPS mounted in the panel, but, you know, that's a cheap way to go for what, you know, for what I need to do. But I've got a, you know, 330 ES transponder, so it's got ADS-B, it's ADS-B compliant.
Okay.
Already, but...
You've kept it within reason.
Yeah. I mean, I was even thinking about it the other day on the flight back. You know, one of the great things that I thought about for the Garmin 796 that's in the panel is that, you know, it's great backup. But you know, an iPad with a you know with an external you know running for flight does the same thing now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so it's you know depending on your mission, if you're just going to be doing mostly local flights with a little bit of cross country, there's no need to spend the you know the kind of money that you know you don't need a Garmin 500 and all that stuff.
You really just got to focus on the comfort, the engine, and the airframe. Does that make sense? You agree with me on that, Keith?
I do.
Okay. Because, all those electronics, eventually, you know, we're going to be able to just use a couple iPads.
Yeah, there's a couple things that you got to be careful of, and that is the ADS-B. Does the current avionics package, is it compatible with ADS-B? Or do you have to change something in order to get it? You know, mm-hmm. Now, the new regulations that the FAA is working on, which is going to help many manufacturers if they don't have to spend as much time certifying things, and so you'll be able to get some of these new autopilot systems and stuff out at a much lesser cost than what they currently are, that'll be a great thing for general aviation. Because you'll already be able to outfit an airplane very nicely for, you know, a third of the cost.
Yeah.
If that.
Well, and we're already starting to see those costs come down. I mean, initial ADS-B estimates were, what, you know, 10 grand to upgrade your panel to be able to do that. And now the people that make the Stratus ADS-B receiver, they now make a certified panel mount transponder replacement. So you just pull out your existing transponder, drop this in, has a GPS source and full transponder replacement for $29.95, ADS-B in and out, so you can plug in your iPad with 4Flight and get the ADS-B weather and traffic, and simultaneously show your position to the FAA.
That's pretty sweet. Now, is that Mooney you're looking at already have that installed? The ADS-B?
It doesn't. Uh-huh. So you'd have to budget that. You know, within the next 2 to 3 years, you know, you're going to plan on going to see.
Well, do it before that, because we were talking last week about how the rebates are running out from the FAA, end of September?
There's $500 back if you get
that's
it done
right.
You know, this year yet.
Yep.
Yeah, but demand hadn't been as high as they thought, but they do think they're not going to extend the
No, but as these
out.
New companies are able to get things out cheaper or more or less expensive, then you know, the other companies are going to have to follow suit, and so the cost is going to come down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know. How much cheaper can they get, though? When you compare to how high they were, I don't know if they're going to get that much.
Yeah, $29.95 is pretty amazing. I mean, I'd go $30.
Well, the funny thing is I just got an email from Garmin, you know, with all of the latest news, and here they're saying you can get a Garmin transponder now with ADS-B out for $29.95.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the in functionality, but they're matching, you know, Aperio's price.
Right, they have to.
Well, yeah.
Right. They have to, or they'll be out of business.
But if you don't do it before September and get that...
Well, you're losing out on $500.
Right? That's right. That gives you a $500, you know, value.
It might cover your install.
Well, if it comes down anymore, you got a $500 cushion there already built in that I think you'd want to take advantage of as opposed to wait till 2020. You know, chances of it coming down that much. Most people are saying no. But you never know. It could show up on our Apple Watch eventually.
But I think where we're going to really see the benefits, I think we'll really start to see the benefits, though, of these new lower cost options is going to be in the other side of the panel, though. Being able to replace your old vacuum-driven instruments and your, you know, your airspeed and altimeter and things like that with, you know, dropping in something like a Dynon Skyview or a Garmin G3X, being able to put some of those experimental avionics that are driving the panels of those airplanes into a Mooney or a Saratoga, giving you a glass cockpit at a reasonable price, I can see that that being a very big change in the industry.
Mm. Well, yeah, and they'll be able to do that with these new changes in the FAA certification laws.
Right, and right now you can get the nice little Garmin G5s or the Dynon D10s to put in to replace your artificial horizon or your heading indicator, but you still can't legally use them to replace your airspeed indicator or your altimeter, even though they can plumb into the system, they can show all the numbers there, you legally still have to leave the old dials in place. So this will allow them to maybe get rid of that, and we'll start to see some modernization of the cockpits as well.
Yeah.
That's why you need a Saratoga, because the number of dials really is immaterial. I've got more space than I know what to do with.
That's right.
I've seen those panels. They're huge.
More space, more stuff to put in them. So more toys. Exactly.
There you go.
All right. More coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Awareness and common sense go a long way on a boat. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to avoid violating basic boating etiquette next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Dive boat etiquette is about safety and respecting the crew and your fellow divers. First, ask for permission to board before just jumping on deck and setting up your gear. Once you do, keep it clear of walkways and stowed out of the way. And pay close attention to the briefing. You may have heard it before, but that doesn't mean everyone else on the boat has. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I don't really need or want anything. I mean, my life is pretty chaotic. I have 5 kids, you know, and I have friends that love stuff. I have a friend who has a drawer of watches. I have another friend who has 5 cars. Whenever I'm with these people, I realize I'm just simple. All I need is a nice bed and a private jet. Yeah? Now, I have the bed. All I need is the jet. And it could be a used jet. I'm not a snob, you know. I mean, I don't want a prop plane. I'm not trash. But I can see you fly away. I can see the sun upon your face. I can feel your heart and I can hear you cry. A dirty bird like me.
Well, you're in the right place. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Keith, Clay, and Dennis rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. All right, I think we've covered the base as far as what Dennis needs to buy, and that is a plane with plenty of space for me. That should be your goal going into this purchase process. So we will follow it accordingly.
I'm starting to think a two-seater is looking more and more appealing, don't you think?
I'm thinking a Piper J3 Cub.
Two-seater is not appropriate. I want you to be able to bring your family every now and then. So anyway, moving on. News.
Dennis, are you and Greg related?
What are you talking about? Drones. We got to get a drone.
He said he had to bring his family.
Yeah, they just
leave. You notice?
Just move on. Just move on. Don't even, you don't want to go there, Keith. Let's not bring up, you know, things in the closet and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so drones are in the news once again, ironically. So, of course, we have to report on them at least once during the show.
A week.
The latest thing that I've seen, and this really isn't big news, but now, you know, it's one thing to have a drone operated with your cell phone or a little RC controller type of thing, which is the rave, but now, you know, virtual reality is hitting, you know, the market, and they're pushing the idea of using virtual reality goggles as the controller for your drone. So you actually would, it's kind of like merging a flight simulator and a quadcopter. And how cool is that? It'd be like you're actually, you know, you're working the simulator, but you're not. You're actually flying the drone, just like you would in a sim. How cool is that?
Also really cool?
Yeah, what's that?
Flying an airplane.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I'm just saying, you know, if you're not quite to that point yet, I mean, well, you know, this could be, you know, a gateway drug to being a private pilot.
What's holding you back, Greg?
Well, you know, I can get one of these drones for about $500.
Yeah, but how much have you paid for your pilot's license so far?
Too much.
I was going to say, you, I don't think, have paid anything, right?
I don't know what you're talking about, Dennis.
Keith? Does Greg
Dennis,
spend
keep it
any
up.
Money?
I'm going to write you out of the family will, okay? Just you're traveling down a terrible
somebody has
flight
to go
path.
There, and Keith hadn't jumped in yet.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, what do you think? Is this kind of like helping to merge the flying and the quadcoptering thing a little bit better?
Yeah, can you imagine people that are strung out on meth or something like that with these goggles on trying to fly one of these things?
No, wait, why are they going to be strung out on meth? Where'd that come from?
Because you know they're going to do it.
You mean because...
Like, wow, man, check this out.
Well, okay. I guess you could go there. But there'll be some responsible folks that do this.
Well, they're doing it right now with things like the Drone Racing League. I mean, all of those competitions, these guys have got the goggles on and are racing it through the courses. I don't think they would be able to do it, you know, if they were to stand off the side like flying an RC plane. They actually need to be able to see through the gates as they're flying those around.
Yeah. Well,
that actually is pretty cool.
Well, the thing is,
first-person view, it's called.
Well, I mean, first-person view is one thing, but I thought these goggles, I think they eliminate the controller or something. So you just, like, look at
You basically look at it, and wherever your eyes go, that's where it goes.
Something like that? Is that what it does? Now, that, I think that'd be pretty cool. You know, it'd really be an immersive type of, you know, experience. So there would be the cool factor, and sure, yeah, you might have the guy strung out on meth wanting to do this for whatever reason. But it could have some practical applications, I think, for, you had mentioned during the commercial break that they're talking about bringing some drones into Orange County, Florida here for what, firefighting?
Correct.
Because we got these wildfires going on right now.
Oh, yeah, for the last month, Florida's been on fire, you know, so.
Yeah, you fly a drone in there, who cares if it melts, you know?
Well, no, what they want to do is they want to be able to use them so that they can see exactly where the fire is going and how do they attack this fire instead of trying to get the firemen on the ground in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They can use the drones to get in there and find out exactly what they've got.
Yeah, well, they could do that, sure. Or, you know, if they could attach a bucket to it, that might help too.
It might need a little bit bigger.
I think your payload's a little limited. Yeah, you drop a thimble full of water on it.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it'd be a start. Follow their lead.
You'd have to get some of those military drones in here for that.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's kind of interesting technology. And I do wonder if, you know, when you start getting to that level, now it really does seem like it could be a teachable element to someone learning to fly, don't you think?
Why don't you just eliminate the drone? Why don't we just put the VR goggles onto a Redbird sim where you can be fully immersed and have an actual simulator?
Well, okay.
Wherever you look.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to worry about the window being the limitation.
Well, isn't that what the F-30...
turn your head inside the simulator and see out just like you would in the real airplane.
Well, that's what the F-35s are doing, isn't it? Isn't that the new fighter jets? They have the whole head unit thing, and then they can look...
see through the cockpit, as they used to say. You're looking down over the target.
That's pretty sweet. I like... So, see, this is coming. You know, so eventually, I won't have to fly. I'll just put on a friggin' headset, and I'll be... flying wherever
you'll
I want to go.
You'll still be in your living room and wanting to get to some Caribbean island.
Yeah. Well, like, wait a minute. How am I supposed to dive? Oh, wait.
I'm starting to think that he really doesn't want to fly. He just wants to get to a Caribbean island someplace where he can dive.
Well, it's all about the destination. Isn't that
how
the saying goes?
It's a means to the end for him.
Wait a minute. I think I got it mixed up. It's about the journey and the destination. It's a combination of the two. And until I get the private pilot's license, it's going to be about the destination. And the fact that Dennis has to buy a plane that I can fly in.
That works for you, Dennis, right?
That works for me.
Yes.
All right, good. We're all in agreement. We'll end it on that. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far, cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.